I think you'll agree with me that sometimes, I don't know for you, but I feel this sometimes, that I forget that Jesus was a man, a human being, a historical person who actually walked the earth and who did all the same kinds of human things that every human being does. Jesus was true man and true God. He emptied himself of his supernatural deity so that he would experience what we experience. And he experienced all, but did not sin. As a man, he felt, he experienced, he encountered all the emotions, all of the senses, all of the circumstances that we feel in life. Scripture tells us he ate, he drank, he slept. He got dirty, he needed a bath, he prayed, he wept, he gave thanks, and he worshiped. Jesus did and experienced all the things you and I experience in life, and yet he still kept on course to carry out the mission that he was sent by his Father to do. It's been said, as far as opportunity goes, it only knocks. But temptation kicks the door in. Jesus experienced temptation, just as you and I are tempted. You just imagine what it must have felt like to spend 40 days without anything to eat. I'll bet you that there are some here that are thinking about what they're going to have for lunch, or what they're going to have for dinner, or possibly a snack in between. 40 days. Without anything to eat, not even a morsel. Jesus spent 40 days with nothing to eat in a hot, dry wilderness that was just as isolated, forsaken place that most people avoid whenever possible. I have been to the Judean wilderness. It's a lot of sand and rock, and it's hot. Nothing to eat or drink for 40 days. Satan came to Jesus, tempting him, wanting him to take the easy way out. And by doing so, he was persuading Jesus to avoid the mission that we've already talked about, the mission that his Father sent him to do. In the first temptation, Satan is asking Jesus to change stones into bread. And this temptation seemed like a really good idea. To feed what was most probably the most immediate desire for someone who was fasting, food. Jesus was being tempted with an instant want instead of what a person truly needed. Sure, food would have been satisfying, very satisfying, but Jesus knew that the world would need so much more than food. They needed spiritual food. Not because he enticed them with food, but because he offered them, through it, life. Eternal life. And then came the second temptation, which was even more dramatic. The devil asked Jesus to worship him, and he would give Jesus authority over all of the kingdoms of the earth. Let's get this straight here. The father of lies said that he would surrender control and that Jesus would be in charge of every kingdom of the earth. The father of lies is trying to tell the king of the universe, I'm going to give you all of this. Like he might even turn over control to Jesus, right? He said that Jesus would then be the one who would run every country. All he had to do was acknowledge that the devil had control of the earth ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. And then he would change the course of history. But Jesus knew that he was going to change the course of history in a far more dramatic and personal way. He would suffer and die on a cross, and then his heavenly Father would raise him from the dead, defeating the devil's control of this earth and over sin and death. Jesus was tempted to take the easy way out, to avoid the cross, And then he could make the changes to this world all by himself instead of working through his church. Sometimes this temptation is very difficult for us to overcome. Sometimes it's easier to do things ourselves. Have you ever had the opportunity to teach someone or show someone how to do something, and while they're doing it, you want to take it out of their hands and do it yourself? You get the sense that they're just not doing it your way. And you want to just take it from them, and it's like, let me do it. I'll show you. Instead, I think best people learn by doing. Sometimes it's easier to do that than it is to trust. Instead of fully trusting God's plan for our lives. Don't you agree? Well, if that wasn't enough, the third temptation was the most dramatic. Taking Jesus to the top of the temple, the highest part of the temple in Jerusalem. And the devil told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. In other words, dive off the temple tower and let God the Father perform a dramatic rescue mission. This would show that God could be manipulated to do whatever we want and need at our service, night and day. Such a message would be appealing to huge masses of people who like to hear that God will make them successful and happy, full of prosperity. How many like to take the easy way out and have God serve you instead of you serving God? You know what I mean? Bargain with God. Make deals with him. You'll be the boss. And in essence, you sell God a bill of goods. How blessed we are that Jesus would have none of that. And instead, Jesus' response to Satan was absolutely crystal clear. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You see, nothing, absolutely nothing was going to make Jesus avoid his mission on our behalf. Have you heard the story about the little boy in a grocery store? Boy standing near a delicious open box of peanut butter cookies. You just taste it right now? Now then, my boy, the manager of the grocery store said, what are you up to?
No, nothing, said the boy.
Nothing, asked the man. Well, it looks to me like you're trying to take a cookie.
You're wrong, mister. I'm trying not to.
This young boy wrestled with temptation, not just for a cookie, but the temptation to break God's law. What did we do just at the beginning of the service and during the season of Lent? The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, shall not steal. And this little boy gladly decided not to take the easy way out. How often do we try to take the easy way out? The one that doesn't seem so bad, but is much easier. And we try to rationalize it. Have you ever found yourself saying, oh, well, I'm only human. But we've got to remember, so was Jesus. So let me ask you this. Have you ever hoped or dreamed to win a large pile of money instead of working for it? Have you ever tried to make a bargain with God, demanding or trying to convince him that he do things for you? You know, God, if you get me out of this, I promise I won't do this anymore. Or I'll go to church every Sunday. Or I promise I'll tithe. I'll do all the things I'm supposed to do. Things that would most likely help you to avoid the journey that Jesus called you to take for your life. The mission that Jesus calls us to follow is a narrow road, and it's not easy. Jesus asks us to travel the hard road as his followers, because at the end of that road is our final reward, spending all of eternity with him. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus never said that following him was going to be easy. If you're tempted by the devil to take the easy way out, what are you going to do? Will you take the way that requires little effort? Or will you follow the example of Jesus and take the way traveled by him? The way of sacrifice, the way of service, the way of the cross. What was it Jesus said? If you truly love me, you will take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't mean we're going to be crucified, but it means we will follow him in a way of service and sacrifice. Following Jesus' way and not the way of temptation, taking the easy way, means sharing with others what Jesus has done for you. That must have been very, very difficult last Sunday for George to stand up in front of his brothers and sisters in Christ and admit that for a time he didn't trust God. He didn't trust him. But when he began to trust and put his full trust in God, God removed the cancer from his body. And he sits before us today cancer-free. I believe the result of a supernatural miracle. Believe it or not, in doing what Jesus asked us to do, we will have taken on the role of a missionary. Now, not everybody has a story like George, but I guarantee you that everyone in this church today has a story, an account of what Jesus has done in your life. Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's a dear friend. Maybe it's a church that God has led you to. Maybe it's a hymn that makes you tear up every time you hear it because you feel Christ being close to you. Sharing what God has done in your life is a mission. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, God, don't make me a missionary. I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to the Middle East. No, that's not the kind of missionary we're talking about. Sharing Jesus with others is not taking the easy way out. He promised salvation to those who believe in him. In today's second reading, which Jay read so beautifully, from Paul's letter to the Romans, Apostle Paul reminds us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Please take a moment and think, is God speaking to me today? Will you hear Jesus' words, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. John 15:16. Great words. You know, getting the word out is not all that easy. Jesus gave the task to all of us saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is Jesus giving us our marching orders. He's suggesting that it just may require for some of us to step out of our comfort zone and actually talk to people that we don't know, telling them about what God has done for you and sharing what he might do for them. It might mean that we have to actually invite a friend to church on a Wednesday night dinner and Bible study, or even for a Sunday service. You don't have to do this alone, my friends. What were the last words that Jesus said as part of what is called the Great Commission? I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Jesus is promising that you're not on this mission alone. He's with you. Now, some of you may say that that's the Great Commission. I like to say that it's the Great Co-mission. We're in it together with Jesus. He will never leave you or forsake you. Before he ascended to the Father on the Mount of Olives, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you, that means all of us, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Don't give in to the temptation to not share Jesus. Jesus is right there with them and with you. His Holy Spirit strengthening and protecting you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, please don't take the easy way out and find excuses why you shouldn't. Jesus needs you on this co-mission. And I close with these powerful words from the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am. Send me.' In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."